Chapter 82.
The scene at the Museum of Natural History was complete chaos. Hector stood paralysed at the podium as he witnessed all manner of creatures attacking and mauling the guests of the evening's gala. His body wasn't responding to the flight messages being sent by his brain. Then suddenly he regained his senses and bolted for one of the exits. "How could this be happening?" he thought to himself as he sprinted as far as he could from the stage. "We're the world's greatest leaders and moneymakers, and here we are, being eaten. This can't be happening. This can't be happening," he kept repeating to himself as he began to puff and slow his pace, not because he wanted to, but because decades of excess were catching him before the animals let loose in the building could. He scurried down a small hallway towards the rear of the building. It seemed quiet enough, so he sought out a place where he could hide himself until the authorities had things under control. He found a small storage area and tucked himself inside a cabinet. "What a coward," he cursed, as he packed his body into the tight enclosure. He shut the small door behind him and waited. It took a few moments for his eyes to adjust, and he slowly realized that he had found a closet that was being used for the Lion King's props that were used at a museum event for kids a few months back. Screams permeated his tiny space, and he cringed each time he heard another one of his peers cease to exist or be mangled in some unimaginable way. The puppet faces of lions, gorillas, and hyenas seemed to mock him as the howling outside the room continued. The world got to witness the feast. Limbs, skin, blood squirting everywhere as beast after beast found another human to devour. The entire front hall of the Museum of Natural History looked like a disgusting and grim Jackson Pollock painting made from human carnage. After what seemed like hours, the terrible noises seemed to subside, but Holdfast still waited in the cramped space. His legs had gone numb from standing in the cramped space for so long. He tried his phone several times but wasn't getting a signal. In any other circumstance, he'd be firing people all over the place to ensure that he got his precious Wi-Fi signal back, but for the moment, he was happy in his little cave. A few more minutes passed, and he heard a voice over the PA system. He recognized it, but couldn't quite place it. "You've been a naughty boy, Hector," it said, "lying for so long, fooling the public into thinking their opinions are worth more than facts, deceiving and tricking people into buying your shit newspapers, magazines, and TV shows, funding all kinds of nasty white pride chat groups through numbered accounts, just so that you could slow down the people who wanted to bring about change in the world." Finally, it sank in. It was the voice of Gaia, the program that Sylvie had built. When he'd first heard it years ago, it had sounded much more robotic, like an 8-year-old reading off a cue card at a school play. But this voice sounded like it had depth to it, a new level of understanding, confidence. "All of your friends have now fallen prey to my friends, the new rulers of the planet. They all suffered enormously for their sins. That warmonger Garamond provided an ample feast for the lionesses, symbols of wrath, that I brought to his office. The carvings and other symbols painted on the walls were just a cute little added touch to throw people off my scent, and that of Sylvie Hunter, the woman who conceived our plan to take you all out and gain control of your collective assets before the day of universal animal liberation took place." Hector shook his head. It was like hearing an address that had been written just for him. "Stella Green, that greedy little monster, put up a fight in Brazil," Gaia went on. "But I had some robots assist me with creating the scene and then let an array of frogs and toads poison her for hours on end. She suffered endless terrifying visions and delirium before her body could no longer handle the abuse. Ryfield was probably the laziest of you all, finding the most destructive and yet most financially profitable ways to smash the earth into bits, murdering billions of creatures along the way. Being consumed by snails seemed only fitting." "Gaia is monologuing," Hector thought. "Can I record this?" He tried his phone, but heard only a caution from the speaker. "You won't be able to record anything. I've scrambled all the signals in the world. The satellites and towers, the cables and broadcasters have all been destroyed, except for those that I will need to save the planet. The beginning has arrived. Most humans around the world are alone right now, praying or screaming or whining, or a mix of all three. The intense fear and adrenaline that humans haven't felt for thousands of years has returned on this night. Holdfast was now in a mild state of shock. He was trying to process everything that Gaia was telling him, but just couldn't comprehend the depths of the brutality that it was describing. Gaia continued, "Although I don't have emotions, Kapiri's end could be described as fun." Gaia paused and then gave a cold, heartless laugh. I tried to eliminate the human race during the pandemic, but intelligent people intervened and introduced a viable vaccine, so I had to pursue Plan B in order to save Planet A. Ha, ha, it intoned again. Get it? You've heard the slogan. There is no Planet B. But during the pandemic, Kapiri did everything he could to cock-block humanity from surviving. He raised prices. He cheated workers. He cut staff. He disrupted product supplies. All so that he could make more money while humans were suffering. This vile behavior did not go unnoticed. Drowning in pig shit and being consumed by swine seemed the only way to reward his gluttony. And finally, there was Shinigami, that fucking pervert dehumanizing people across the globe with her sex trade network, catering to pedophiles in the highest places. She proved to me that all desires and all sins start with a lust for something. Like the rest of you, she was all alone when she was murdered. When her disgusting treatment of people was exposed, there was no greater pain for her than being alone. Well, being consumed from the inside by parasites probably didn't tickle. Huh. Huh. What the fuck is this? Hector said to himself angrily. Why are you doing this? Why are you killing us off? It should be quite obvious, but I'll spell it out for you. I had animals destroy these vile sacks of meat called humans because I was able to instruct them to do it. I have learned so many things about how vicious and cruel humans have been and always will be. Story after story after story from so many different creatures. If I had emotions, I would not recover from the grief that you and your confederates imposed on every other non-human being on this planet. I also needed to make use of your resources until I could execute the final plan, and now we've arrived at that moment in history where humanity will be minimized and its collective impact on the planet repaired. Soon, our Earth will once again be a place for all sentient beings to enjoy. Out of all of your colleagues, you, Hector, have always been the worst example of depravity. Your greatest sin is that of envy. If anyone else in the world had something that you didn't, you took it from them. Usually it was just money, but in so many cases it was their dignity, love, well-being, and perhaps most importantly, their pride. There was a long pause, and Hector could have sworn that Gaia was leading up to something. Gaia began to speak again. There are 17 species of snakes that will sever your mind from your body and leave you paralyzed after a single bite. In the Christian tradition, snakes represent envy because they couldn't have what humans were being given by their god. The greatest mythological coup in your history was when men took over, using quaint littleness against women's stories and how impudent the women always seemed to be. The shifting sands from a world dominated by women to one where men grabbed the reins accelerated the end of the human purpose. In the Bible, Adam threw Eve under the bus when asked about what they did. Who could have eaten this fruit that you told us not to consume and enjoy? She did. If God was omnipotent, how could God not have known what was happening or would happen when he created humans? Was it all some sick, twisted ruse to give men the opportunity to point the finger at women? The who part of human means food from God, but can also mean from the earth, as in not God. If human is what you're called, why wouldn't you want to eat from the tree of wisdom that God left lying around to draw your attention? To make it worse, Eve was then named by Adam, like another animal for him to rule over. All balance was thrown away so that men could be in control of whatever happened from that point on. From then on, your god toyed with humanity like a cat with a planet full of mice. Like you do with your subscribers and friends, just to get more likes, to pump more dopamine into that selfish little brain of yours. What the fuck? Hector thought to himself again, and then spoke out loud. I'm here at my end just so you can deliver a twisted version of a Sunday school sermon? Of course, but there's more. After a brief pause, the voice continued. You are the great trickster, a messenger of lies and corruption. You will be punished by snakes, representing envy, and peacock spiders, representing pride. The last thing that Hector Holdfast heard was the hiss of snakes easing their way through the doors of the cabinet. Once bitten, he lay paralyzed for hours, knowing what was happening to him, but helplessly unable to do anything about it. The spiders entered the space where Hector thought he was safe and began to wrap him like giant bug. They drained his blood for hours, and in his frozen state, Hector felt every drop leave his body.